Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a waspily rabbit. Exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
While the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
Time to awaken. Mark? Mark? Wake up, Mark.
And welcome to Friday. And you are in the rabbit hole. Today, our guest will be Lynn White, the PAL psychic. And you can see her website and her blog page on her new website. And I have those posted in the chat room as well as on my Book of the Face page. So we will be bringing her on in just a couple minutes, and she'll be talking about what she does and where you can find her. And she's got some interesting blog posts here on her page. And we may talk a little more in depth about her post from Wednesday regarding souls, death, and reincarnation as... I've had a couple questions come up in the last few minutes regarding such topics. So, what the heck is going on? You probably want to know. So, let's see. We have, where did we go here? Lots and lots of intense energy going on right now. There is, we're in for an entertaining weekend. I don't like to make promises, but I promise this. You will not be bored this weekend. You will not be bored this weekend. I don't even know. I'm babbling because I don't even know where to start here. Okay, so. Today is July 24th. Tomorrow, July 25th at 5:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have a Venus station. So Venus is going to go retrograde. It is at 0 degrees of the sign of Virgo. The last time we had a Venus retrograde was December 20th of 2013 through January 30th of 2014. The last time we had a Venus retrograde in the signs of Leo and Virgo, which this one is going to be, was July 26, 2007 through September 7th, 2007. So, when Venus always gets talked about as being love and relationships, and this is true, but on another level, Venus is our values, our morals, what's important to us, how we comfort ourselves, the things we surround ourselves and our home with, how we beautify things around us. our inner values. These are all Venus things, and so. So these are all Venus ruled things. We have, there's so many aspects going on right now. If you're feeling a little bit, I'm getting messages from people, they're feeling a little bit lost, unfocused, not sure which way to go. It's because, like, literally the ground is shifting under our feet. It is very hard to find any kind of stable ground or place to put our feet right now. So not only are we reevaluating our relationships, our romantic relationships, our job relationships, our friend relationships, our relationship with ourselves, not only are we valuing or reevaluating all of that, but the transiting North Node is still in Libra. Libra is about balance. There is a bad misconception in that a lot of people have that Libra energy has balance. That may or may not be true. It's the theme of Libra is about attaining or acquiring balance. A lot of times, Libra people or people with a lot of Libra energy do not have balance. It's about working on it, attaining it. Putting things back in balance that were previously not so. So that's like one level that things are running on. Okay, so we have three really big things here within pretty much a 24-hour period. So we have the Venus retrograde at 5:29 a.m. tomorrow. That's at zero Virgo. And then shortly after that, at 5:42 a.m. tomorrow morning, Mars in Cancer is exactly square Uranus and Aries. They will be at 20 degrees. Now, Cancer and Aries are both cardinal signs, means they're initiators. Those signs are good at initiating and starting things. Now, as you may know, Aries energy is much better than Cancer energy at actually dealing with change. The Aries energy is more fiery, more independent. So if you saw the theater shooting in Louisiana last night, you know that, and if you've listened to any of my ramblings before, you know, Mars is energy, aggression, violence, Uranus, shocking events, surprising events, and we know that a square is an aspect that has a lot of energy and requires action. If these things hit difficult, these planets hit direct in your chart, that's where we can get some of these surprising, shocking events. So then on top of that, Sunday morning at 6:38 in the morning, so we've got it's a 25-hour period. We have three big astrological events. So at 6:38 a.m. on Sunday morning, Uranus stations, which means it is changing speed, changing direction, just like Venus is the day before. And that happens at 20 degrees Aries. So again, Uranus is, not only do we have this Uranus-Mars square, but the Uranus energy is extremely powerful. Uranus is rebellion, chaos, change, fighting for freedom. This is all This is all Uranus things. Revolution, rebellion. Stepping out of the status quo. Stepping outside of your box. These are all Uranus things. When a planet stations or changes directions, its energy is more focused. That planet is more powerful. So Venus and Uranus are highlighted right now. On top of that, earlier in the year we talked much about the Uranus-Pluto squares, which is the energy behind a lot of these revolutions and financial crises and governments being overthrown and things like that. That Uranus and Pluto are not exactly square now, but they're still close enough to that aspect is still happening. And then we have Mars thrown in to the mix. And we have Moon and Scorpio right now. I cannot stress this. I'm just imagine me saying very like 80 times in a row. This is a very powerful lineup. Mars and Cancer can be very passive aggressive. It can be very defensive. It can be very angry if it feels threatened. Uranus and Aries wants to break the status quo. It wants to decondition from anywhere where it feels limited. Venus and Virgo wants change. It wants to correct things. The North Node in Libra wants balance. So when you put all these things together, this is about breaking out of any area where we're stuck. Anywhere where anywhere where things are not operating the way we would like to. Anything that things feel out of place. Let me see here. Any place where we need adjustments. And this, with two planets making a station within 24 hours of each other, there's just a lot of energy from this. And then on July 31st, which is next Friday, we have a full moon. So that means we are in the fourth quarter here of the moon. So its energy is rising. It is... well, we're heading towards that full moon energy, that intensity. And we have a Uranus station, and it is square to Mars and Pluto. So the news feed should be very interesting at this point. Just remember, there's a lot of shifting and a lot of energy happening out there, so just try you know, and this doesn't have to be bad or difficult energy. I mean, this can be there's a lot of energy out there, but it can be towards breaking bad cycles or places where we've been stuck, getting out of places where we've been stuck. So just keep all this in mind as we move towards the highest points of the energy this weekend. Plus, we have the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers this Sunday at Whetstone Park from noon to 6. Bring your drums. There will be several hundred of us, at least, out there. So come join and drum and dance and enjoy the sunshine. So I believe our guest is online here. So we are hopefully going to bring on Lynn White, the Powell psychic. Hello.
This is Siege.
This is Siege. Okay, this is
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm off work today, so I'm sitting here playing on a computer a little bit, and I'm also working on a few projects that I have for the upcoming month. So I just happened to hear your show going on there, and I thought I'd call in and say hello to you.
All right. We appreciate you listening very much, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday at the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers.
Oh, I can't wait either. It's going to be a fantastic event. I'm looking towards, we had probably 500 there last year. I'm looking for 600 or 700 people there this year.
I think so, too. People have been pumped up for this event here.
Definitely spread the word out there. Tell the media, tell all your friends and family to bring their pots and pans and drums and whatever they can get a hold of, and come on out and let your inner child run for a while.
Yeah, I think we're all in desperate need of that right now.
Absolutely. Hey, on that note, I wanted to ask you a little, just a short astrology question. The sun just moved into Leo, and I'm a Scorpio. I have Pluto in Leo, and my sun sign's in Scorpio, so I have that mutual reception thing going on. But I noticed yesterday, as soon as the sun went into Leo, I had more energy than you could shake a stick at. Does that happen for everybody?
Yeah, well, that kind of goes back to the square thing I was talking about. Leo is square to Scorpio. So when we have those squares, it can kind of make us a little tense or intense. But, yeah, it kind of gives us a boost of energy because that square is a 90-degree angle, and it kind of gives us a – it does. It gives us a burst of energy. And so it's good to have a good, healthy outlet like drumming or something to where we can release that – what can be difficult energy if it's forced to be restrained. So those squares can give us a good kick in the tuchus if we need it, energy wise.
I was happy, we're in the fixed signs, Scorpio and a moon and Leo sun. And those are two fixed signs, as opposed to the mutable sign of Cancer we just came away from. And if you noticed, it stopped raining finally.
Yeah, yes.
And I was just getting really depressed, and that's kind of a Cancer trait. And it was like really refreshing yesterday to move into a higher energy pattern rather than a depressive, watery Cancer energies, when the sun was in Cancer.
Yeah, I found that the Cancer energy has always been great for me, but I've found the last couple years that it's been, it's just so heavy emotionally sometimes that it's really been, it's not as been as favorable for me as it has in the past. It's been a little more difficult to deal with.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much for chatting with me for a couple minutes. I'm going to get back to work here, but hey, everybody out there in radio land, please come out to 1,000 Drummers this coming Sunday from noon to 6. Bring your extra canned goods for the food bank and come out and have some good times, some picnics and stuff.
Awesome. Sounds great. I will put you back on hold so you can listen, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday, my friend.
Absolutely, Mark. Take care now.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I believe this is our guest, Lynn White.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I had two similar numbers up there on the switchboard, and I wasn't quite sure which one was yours.
No, we're good.
Okay. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure.
I've been pretty pumped up and pretty excited, so no, this is great.
Awesome. So I guess let's start off with you can find her website. I got it posted in the chat room and on my Facebook page. You can find her at the www.thepalpsychic.com, and she's got a blog page off of her website there. And so just give us the 3-minute bio on you.
Sure. I'll try to be try to be brief and condensed. I've had an online presence since about 2011. Started doing readings online, which involve email readings and phone readings and whatnot. And I finally got to a point where I wanted to come out and meet people more face-to-face rather than the connections where you're meeting, you know, at Tim Hortons or you're meeting at a restaurant. I wanted a place that I could foster and create my own environment, create my own energy, and just have control over it. And I wanted to be able to bring people in, help people. And I just felt like there were so many people out there I could help that maybe I wasn't reaching online. I just wanted to do this. It was my next natural step in my journey of my own personal development and my own personal growth, and it felt right, and I've loved it. I mean, I've already met people and made connections, and it's really been great. My whole goal in everything is to approach it with positive intent and to try to help people, and I know as long as I keep that focus and I work in that direction that, you know, good things will happen for everyone, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. So, yeah, I have my own little place now, and I make appointments for people to come in, and I just do what I can.
Excellent. Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually have worked out of the space you're in right now with a mm-hmm. with another shop that was located there. So, what kind of? I know on your website here it says you can go over with clients. You can go over their, help them define their gifts. Go over universal consciousness, homeopathy, career goals, future goals. Communicate with passed over loved ones. Earth changes and events, spiritual development, relationships. What kind of, how do you kind of structure your readings you do with people?
Well, what I like to do, you know, part of my growth, I've gone to other people for readings and felt out the way that they do them. And some people I feel are very genuine, very gifted, and really leave you with some insight, whereas others feel more, I don't know. I mean, everybody, things come to them differently. So I don't like to judge of, you know, who's good or who's not. I don't really believe in that. I think certain people connect to certain people better than others. But I've learned a philosophy, and I've developed the way that I do my readings based on the ones that I feel are most effective for me. So what I like to do, rather than have someone come in and sit down and just say, read me, which I can do that if that's what they prefer, I like them to come to me and say, you know, I'm really stressed out with, you know, I have this relationship issue going on. You know, what do you see? And I like to go into it that way, because rather than just tell them random things that, you know, maybe I tell you what your car looks like or what your bedroom, how it's situated, that doesn't really enrich your life or make your life better. I like to go in and address the things that they want. Now, you know, you're sort of at the mercy of what they're supposed to know. I always ask for, you know, what does this person need to know? What is in their greater good? That's my primary focus above all. And if what they want to know about, you know, I get what's in their greater good, and I share it with them. And it may be what they want to hear. It may be not what they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. So I always believe in being truthful. But I really like to focus on what it is that's their pressing issue. You know, if you're coming in because you're hoping that I connect to a past loved one, you know, come in and just say, that's this is what I want to do. Give me their first name and let me go. But if you don't tell me that, maybe your greater good at that moment is to hear about a job opportunity you have coming up. But deep in your heart, that might not be the thing that's really pressing on you. So I like to help people and focus on what it is that they want to know about. I want it to be effective for them, insightful for them, and leave feeling like, you know, maybe you got some closure, maybe you got some insight, maybe you're able to tap into your higher self or confirm what your intuition's already told you. But I like to leave people feeling that way. That's my goal, and to work toward that for the person.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, everybody has kind of different ways they communicate and different. I mean, some people will just have a connection with certain readers and not with others, and it doesn't mean that. You know, I'm sure some people don't jive with my, you know, my version of astrology and stuff, but it's, you know, that's okay, because it's not, you know, there's a reason we have 50 different coffee flavors or 50 different ice cream flavors when we go to the store. It's we have, you know, we have diversity, and that's a great thing, and people can go to, you know, if they don't like my version of astrology, then, you know, I can, I have many other friends that I can direct them to, and it's all just kind of a, you know, personal connection. I think we all have, you know, certain readers we feel comfortable with, and then others maybe not so much. So that's great that you can kind of tailor your readings, and, you know, maybe offer something that the, you know, other psychics don't. So I think it's. And two, I know a lot of people like to go to more than one person for readings just to get like a second take on things, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like going to a doctor for a second opinion. I mean, you know, if things come to us in such different ways, maybe someone is more gifted in clairaudience and someone else is more clairvoyant. It doesn't mean that the message you're getting isn't correct. It just means you're getting it through two different filters, and the truth is typically what's in the commonality of those. So you're absolutely right. People do that all the time, and it makes a lot of sense. I completely understand it.
Right, and so I think one of the things we were going to talk about kind of was how to discover your gifts and how to learn how to listen to your intuition, which I'm sure is very important from your side of the table. How do you help people uncover their gifts and develop?
Well, one thing that I have learned throughout this process is everybody has it. You know, whether you have a strong intuition, or maybe you dream a lot, or, you know, it can come to you in different ways. So when someone comes to me and says, you know, what is my gift? How can I develop this, or what can I do? I encourage them to really look at themselves and say, what is it that comes natural? Usually everybody has something that comes natural. And once you identify what that is and you pay attention to it, you sort of strengthen what that one thing is. Maybe your intuition, you always just have this strong gut, and you know, you do things, or you like say you're at work and you are a troubleshooter of, you know, what, you're in the techie industry and you're a troubleshooter. And somehow you always just know what to check or what to do to make things work. You don't really know why you do, but you have that strong intuition. If that's your natural gift, pay attention to that and really focus on it. And what I see happening is once you are able to identify what that first dominant element is, then you build upon it and you pay attention. And, you know, I always encourage people to meditate as well, because that helps you tune into your higher self. It helps you feel more connected to, like, the universal consciousness and everything that's out there. But it all starts with just that fundamental step and paying attention to it. Some people are clairvoyant. Maybe you're able to daydream easy and you just get visions. Pay attention to them. What are they telling you, and what emotions do they evoke? And from there, you build upon it. So there's always that one thing that someone has, and from there, you can build upon it. Some people are lucky and can identify things, two or three things that they're able to do easily, but, you know, it just takes that first initial step and let it grow. And don't expect too much of yourself all at once. It has to come in small. You know, it comes when you're able to accept it. You know, if you're overloaded with everything all at once, it's just a little too overwhelming and people can't make sense of it. And then you sort of just shut it down and close that door. But if you accept it as it comes to you slowly, then you just gradually build upon it. Some people, the journey will last years, and others, you know, once you start to work on it, maybe in a few years you're really you know, propelling through it. It depends on the individual, but I don't tell anybody to give up on it. I believe everybody has something.
I agree. And, yeah, it's really very important to back up what you're saying. I think the meditation and being able to still your mind and clear your thoughts is, I mean, it's always been a good idea, but I think especially now it's even more important. Just there's so much upheaval and disruption going on. And the energy has been so intense now for a good while, and you know, it's not going to stop. We're going to have pockets of relief, but this is kind of the new reality, is, you know, making sure that we're being in the here and the now, and so we have to kind of keep clearing off and refocusing ourselves and making sure that we are feeling our own thoughts and feelings and not all of these, we'll call them attachments or energy that's projected onto us. So I think that's a great point you made. And something else that kind of leads into that we were going to talk about was tapping into the universal consciousness. You know, we're on one level, we're all related, and we're all, you know, we've all come here to experience this 3D reality, you know, subjectively as a whole, but also, you know, on the individual level. So how do you perceive this universal consciousness and how we play with it and feed into it?
Well, I believe that that is how all of the intuitions and psychic abilities and everything work. We are all connected to this bigger whole, this universal consciousness. It's like there's a little piece of it in each of us, and we're all tethered to it. So really, when you're tapping into your abilities, you're just tapping into the ability to connect like a telephone to someone else and basically understand maybe their perspective, or be able to get in touch with their higher self to be able to relay a message to them, or connect to a past loved one. We're all tethered to each other. I always see it like this big spider web of connectedness. And I see that that's how, you know, the universal consciousness works. And, you know, right now, the way that Earth is, we're like vibrating at this certain frequency. And I see that overall, collectively, we all want more. We're all trying to ascend and to be something more. It's almost like our subconsciouses are waking up to wanting to be more of this connectedness and less of this like physical stuff that kind of doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. And I see that we are, you know, looking toward more and wanting to be more and moving in that direction. So I feel like as humans, we are propelling to aspire to be more. We just have to sort of shed off a lot of this negativity that's going on around us and not let it hold you down, because, you know, the negativity or materialism or, you know, just all these negative thoughts, I call them lower vibrational emotions. They hold you down and keep you from being what you really can. So when you sort of disengage from all that and focus on being more of an elevated, you know, frequency or tap into those higher vibrations, it helps move you in that direction that I feel is our human goal to do. We want to ascend, but we can't do it if we focus on, you know, the fear and all the stuff going on in the news and, you know, whether it's manufactured or real or all of that. I mean, that's not what we're meant to be doing. We're really meant to be a piece of a whole and not divided because of, you know, whatever political things are going on or, you know, whatever false flag agenda is happening or any of that. Really, that stuff is just hold you down. So if you can just disengage from it and focus on something more, you can move and elevate yourself to something more.
Right. I agree with that. It's a tricky area that I kind of run across here, is because we get into a lot of the conspiracy type stuff, and it's like, I guess I've gotten, since I've been delving into that area for about 20 years or so, it's important, I think it's important to look and understand the events that are going on, but not get trapped into the fear portion of it, because it can vary. I mean, and I used to have a hard time with that. I mean, it's hard to look at some of this stuff that's happening and not feel that fear, but I think I've kind of, at least most of the time, trained my brain a little bit to look and analyze things and, like, look at it more from a detached level on from one point, to look and understand what's going on and the spell casting that's going on, if you will, but not get trapped into the fear and not not live a fearful life because of the things that are going on out there. I mean, you can still heal and protect yourself and, you know, not have to, even though things are crazy, things are going on out there, we don't have to be afraid of, you know, because I think kind of that's what they want, is to keep us in a state of fear. And so, and even that goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, protection and clearing yourself and the meditation to kind of get those old thoughts or those fear-based thoughts out of there. And that's a really big thing for the next month for all mankind, because Saturn has retrograded back into Scorpio, so this is about confronting our fears and what we're afraid of. So I think
that's
go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you focus on being in that higher vibration, it's kind of strange, like you won't necessarily feel the fear. And, you know, even as I'm talking to you, I'm reminded of this conversation that I had with my friend that's kind of a perfect analogy as to what we're talking about. And, you know, we were talking about diet and exercise and all this stuff, and we sort of quit doing the fast food thing. Well, when you quit doing it for a long time, when you go back to it, it doesn't taste right. It doesn't evoke the same feeling, emotion, and all of those things. And we were saying how the news is the same way. I told her, I said, you know, I haven't watched the news in so long that I just try to disengage from all that. But when you do go back and you revisit it and you turn the news on, it's almost like you can see the lies. It's like you remove yourself from it so long. You know, when you watch it every day, you get ramped up, you get involved in it, you get kind of, you know, emotionally twisted in it. But if you step back, give yourself a week or two and don't watch any of it, just totally shut yourself off. When you go to turn it back on, it's almost like you see the news like a play or like a movie. It doesn't feel authentic. You feel like, man, that's not true. They'll put someone's face on there, and you're like, they didn't do that. It's like you somehow, your subconscious just knows. It's like anything. You just remove yourself from it, and when you go back to it, it's a completely different feeling. And you don't feel afraid. You're more like, what are they doing? You're more puzzled by it. It feels confusing, and it's not fearful. So if you elevate yourself, remove yourself from it, it's almost like that fear can't touch you. You might recognize it's there, but you see more of like a truth or a lie. You don't feel it like an emotion. It's like a fact.
Right, absolutely. It's kind of like you go through a detox program when you cut off from like the news or something else for a while, and then it's like you kind of get programmed when you tune into it all the time, but then you see how ridiculous a lot of the news is. I mean, just how they state everything in such a fearful manner. I mean, I laugh sometimes when I'm watching the news, just because, not that I don't feel bad for the people that may be involved in some of these events, but the way that the news broadcasts stuff, they're just like, wow, I mean, they just so ridiculously lead you to certain concepts and ideas that I mean, it's laughable at times how biased the news, which is supposed to be impartial, is. I mean, they're supposed to be reporting mm-hmm. facts, and a lot of times it just comes across as propaganda. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree completely.
Homeopathy is something else that I know has been coming up for a lot of us, and kind of, you know, people are, and I'm going to include myself in this. People are just sick and tired and disgusted of the healthcare industry in this country, and what I can only call a hellish nightmare and ordeal of going to the doctor's office at this point in America. I mean, I know there's more and more people are reaching out and wanting natural ways to take care of themselves and home cures and remedies. And I know lots of people use essential oils and herbs and other things. Do you help your clients out in this area, or are these maybe there's some topics you touch on in your blogs?
I actually see a lot of things when if someone comes to me and they're concerned with something with health. I mean, I always remind them, you know, I've not studied medicine in school, so whatever I get is purely from an intuitive perspective. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, hey, I'm having a health problem. What do you see? And if I see something light up, it's like I automatically go to the homeopathic route. Very, very rarely would I ever, you know, tell someone, I think you need to take this or that that's more of like a pharmaceutical type drug. It's like I'm not wired that way. My mind sees things in terms of, I do a lot with oils. I use doTERRA. I sell it. I believe in it. I don't make my clients say, hey, you have to buy my stuff. But because I am so involved in it, it's like that's my natural go-to that I see. Occasionally I see herbs and whatnot. I had someone come to me and ask me about cancer, and I very, very distinctly saw them taking dandelions from the yard and making like a salad from it, eating them, like eating the greens. So it really is random, but I'm a firm believer that everything that's wrong with us can be also healed by our environment. We just have to look and know what to look for. So when I am confronted with a health question, I tend to go straight to the homeopathic things. I'm like in my mind, I'm always asking because that's how I propel my readings. You know, well, what can they take or what can they do or what does it look like? And I'll do what I can to get as specific as I can to help guide them. And it could be, you know, anything from hormonal to physical to emotional. You know, people go through a wide range of things in their lives that they need to deal with, but I firmly believe our environment can heal us. I mean, it can hurt us or it can heal us. So we just have to be proactive and seek those options out, and they do work. The frustrating thing is, you know, we're so used to, you know, wanting to take a pill or go buy this at the store, and those types of things work quickly. Homeopathic means sometimes take a little more patience and diligence. You know, you might have to do something 3 or 4 times a day versus a pill that you take once a day. But overall, your body, you're not going to have the side effects. You're not going to have the long-term effects. You process it. You eliminate what you don't need, whereas, you know, you take pharmaceuticals and you don't know what it's going to do you 20 years from now because some of them are new and haven't had a 20-year test on them. But, you know, they're just so readily available. I encourage people to try to naturally cure themselves. It could be something as simple as apple cider vinegar in the morning to change your acidity of your body. Maybe your pH is off and it's making you susceptible. I mean, sometimes it is really just that simple.
Right. I agree. I mean, I'm very leery of any kind of pharmaceuticals. I will take like an ibuprofen or an Excedrin or something once in a while. But that's about the extent of it. I mean, I pretty much treat everything I have now with homeopathic stuff or with essential oils. I mean, that's that's the route that I, again, I am not a doctor either, but that's the route that I go, as opposed to the mainstream medical circus, which is pretty much nothing more than a pharmaceutical cartel at that point, in my opinion, at this point, in my opinion. So, but yeah, I agree. I mean, it's really only, I mean, it seems normal to us. I mean, since we've been alive, we could always run to the grocery store or CVS or Walgreens or whatever down the street. But, you know, throughout most of human history, there's not been a 24-hour pharmacy on every block. I mean, this is a relatively new development for mankind. So, you know, people have always treated themselves with herbs and oils they made out of plants and you know, natural things from the earth. So I think it's important to know that these cures that have been around for a long time still work. You don't hear about them because there's not a giant pharmaceutical company behind them that makes billions of dollars every year. So let's see. So we are going to take just a 30-second break here and catch our breath, and we will be right back with Lynn White, the Powell Psychic.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic, and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Okay, I guess that you can probably hear me better when I unmute the microphone. So I will make a note of that in the future. I'm babbling away. I notice I have the microphone muted. Okay, so we're back with Lynn White, the Powell Psychic. And I apologize for not giving you a lot of heads up on this, but I had a conversation come up this morning, and I just happened to peer over at your blog on your website, and you can find that under the powellpsychic.blogspot.com. And you had a post on there from Wednesday where someone had sent in a question about souls, death, and reincarnation. And I had a conversation with somebody that this morning about that, so I kind of felt that was a topic maybe we needed to go over a little bit. And I don't know if you've touched on this on anything, but we were talking about, you know, if you remember from the Poltergeist movie, you know, they, you know, go towards the light, Carol Ann, and, you know, we always talk about people having near-death experiences, and you tell them to go towards the light. And there's some... Well, let's just. What do you see as far as like how reincarnation works? Let's start there before I jump too far ahead.
Okay, and feel free to interrupt me too if I start going down a different path or answering your question. So the way that I see it is, you know, when we are in spirit form, we kind of have certain souls, not in every lifetime, but in many lifetimes, that we make like a soul pact that we are going to incarnate with, meaning, you know, maybe like my current husband and my children and maybe my mom or dad, we're all on these pacts where we come in. And in each lifetime, you might have a different dynamic. Like one lifetime, my husband might be my husband. One time, he might be my brother. Or we might be role reverse. Maybe I'm male and he's female. But I think that we all have certain people that we are kind of incarnated with. And some you might be born with in your family, and some are maybe meant to come into your life when you're 20 or 30 or 40 or for whatever reason. But people come and go into your life, these souls do, for a reason, for growth and through experience, or to gain experience, because that's why we're here, is to learn and grow through our experiences. So it's like I see that we have these packs that we come here and incarnate with, and that's why people think, you know, is that my soulmate? Like, meaning, to me, is that the person that I agreed to come here with? Am I meant to find them? Because when you find that person that's, you know, part of your soul pact, you just know, you feel this relationship with them, or you feel this inner connection that's something you can't really describe. You just know that you're meant to be around them or with them. Might be your best friend, might be your companion, really could be anybody. So I see that that is how we come here. And, you know, when we die and we leave our physical body and you go back into the spiritual realm, sometimes you wait on those people to join you in the spiritual realm to come back with you. But keep in mind, too, that, you know, when we're in spirit form, time is something completely different than what we have here. First of all, on Earth, in our physical body, we see time as this linear experience because we go through the aging process. So we see it as, you know, there's a definite middle, beginning, and end. But kind of in the spirit realm, you know, time is very different. You know, what is a blink of an eye there could be 100 years here. So people ask me all the time, well, are they going to really wait 20 years to come back? Well, yeah, because to them, time is a different, totally different animal when you are, you know, in spirit form. So I see the reincarnation process working like that. But when you do die, I get that your soul, when it separates from your physical body, there is a light. But if you go to that light, it's like your soul is almost goes through this cleansing, recycling process to where a lot of your, it's like your subconscious is still partly retained, but a lot of your memories, maybe some of your growth that you went through, some of that is wiped away. Because when you're born, it's almost like you have some of that still with you, but when you get older, you lose it. Your rational mind starts to kick in, and once that happens at, what, 6, 7 years old, you lose so much more. It's almost like if a newborn could talk, they could tell you so much, if you could understand their thoughts and whatnot, but they don't have the communication. That's why little kids can see ghosts and so forth, because they haven't had that rational mind part kick in. So if you go to the light and you go through that experience, I see that kind of wiping happening where a lot of that's lost. It can be refound, you know, through maybe doing a past life regression or doing hypnosis, doing that kind of stuff. Some of those thoughts can be found, but for the most part, on just the normal conscious level, you can't recall a lot of that. So some people choose not to go to the light. They make that choice, and you have that control as a spirit whether you want to go through that, which initiates the reincarnation process, or you want to stay here on Earth. Maybe you have some kind of karma, some trauma, some unfinished business, something going on that you decide you want to stay here. You can do that, and that's where we see, you know, and have, you know, spiritual activity around us. You might have a spirit living in your home. Maybe they still feel like that's their home and they aren't ready to leave it yet, or for whatever reason. I mean, there's different causes for a spirit to not want to go through the light, but, you know, that's a reality. And a lot of times when people are smudging or staging their home, they'll say, you know, go to the light, it's okay. Some of them need that little bit of nudge, like they need permission to go. And you know, the ones that don't, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed, but you can shift it elsewhere. You can, you know, tell a ghost that they need to leave. Maybe they don't want to go to the light, but they need to go somewhere else. I mean, you can do that as well. So it's really, it's like, it's kind of complicated, but in a way it's very simple the way that the process works, at least how I see it in my mind. That's how I've made sense of it, and that's how I try to explain it in a more simpler term to other people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with it, especially the time thing. It's not nearly as linear as people would think. I think there's many different dimensions, realities, lifetimes probably existing all at the same time. And I think we have these, as we make different decisions and focus our energy towards different things, I think we have their timeline shifts, I believe, happen. And that's interesting what you said at the end about going towards the light. That was very much what my conversation earlier today was about. And yeah, I think that's kind of the trap. We go to this body and go towards the light, and I think that sets the process going over again to where we came here. And you know, maybe we do need to come back here several times, but maybe not as many times as we do. Maybe there's other alternate realities, dimensions, frequencies, where we can also learn certain lessons and not kind of feel that we're doing this, coming back here over and over again. I mean, it's funny, I've had many people mention to me and that I'm saying observing on my own, there's a lot of frustration from people where I'm like hearing the same comment over and over again, like do I have to come back here and do this again, or why did I agree to come back here? And it's like it's almost like people are on a level of their consciousness, or maybe either realizing or feeling that they were duped to come back here again when maybe they didn't need to or didn't understand exactly what was going on, or was, if you will. But I think I think that's very interesting. There's we're just kind of programmed with that go towards the light thing. I mean, it seems like even on the mainstream media, where we see people or hear people talking about near-death experiences, even the mainstream media will throw out that, they mentioned going towards the light and everything, and maybe we're not supposed to go towards the light. Some of the stuff I've read said we can step out of that tunnel before we go to, it's like your clothes and then fold them back and put them in the drawer to be worn again. The one article I'd read was we step out of that tunnel and maybe experience different realities, different frequencies. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did a reading one time and someone was asking maybe about the light. I mean, people don't understand it because it's hard to really get a clear, defined answer. We get what we get through intuitive senses. People that have had near-death experiences, we try to learn from what their experience was to try to confirm or, expand upon maybe what you get if you're doing a reading. And I did a really cool reading one time, and they were talking about, how some of these, like, monks and whatnot, they meditate and they come back and they're enlightened, even like Buddha and whatnot, how they grew so much in their lifetime and how they learned so much. And what came through to me was some people during meditation and during the whole process have learned how to like go through the light but not let it affect them, as if they know how to alter their vibration in a spiritual state, and I could hear this humming noise that they could change their frequency that they emitted when they passed over that allowed them to go through the light and not let it like destroy them and wipe them. So when they incarnated, they would like essentially come back with the knowledge and much of the wisdom that they had gained in the previous life. So it's almost like, imagine if you could take everything you know now And when you're born, you even learn that much more. And you didn't have to start at square one again. Even if you propelled quickly, I mean, starting over again is a huge hindrance. But if you could take what you already have and continue to grow, it would be amazing. And that's what some of these, like the monks and the very spiritually advanced people have learned how to do. It's like they've learned how to transfer and transform their vibration to go through it to incarnate and still retain what they've got.
Yeah, that's I agree. I mean, it's like even just looking at the 3D level, you know, when scientists or doctors make new discoveries, I mean, they're not, they don't start from ground zero and reinvent, you know, they don't follow every single step that's ever happened in physics. They start with the information that we already had, all the other physicists gathered up at that point, and they start from there, start adding on to those theories and that knowledge. So yeah, I think that's very, if we, like Neptune, astrologically, Neptune is our kind of the divider between our frontal lobe and our subconscious. So, I mean, it would be, I think, impossible to function if we had every memory of every lifetime, like in the front of our brain all the time. I think we would just be like, impossible to deal with things. But being able to, you know, I think some people have learned how to access certain parts and, you know, have deja vus and flashbacks and, you know, hidden memories that surface. Kind of helps a lot. I think it would be possible to evolve if started from square one every single lifetime. It would be quite annoying at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we are close to the end of our hour here. So how can people, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you and to schedule readings?
Oh, great. The easiest way to get a hold of me is if you go to my website, which is www.thepalpsychic.com. You can schedule an appointment. It has my contact information regarding my shop. So most of my information can be there. Feel free to call 614-526-9448. And I'm happy to talk to you, help you get an appointment scheduled, or answer any questions that you have. And those are really my main ways to reach me. But I would encourage you to use the website or give me a call if you'd just rather personally talk to me.
Right. And you are located on 80 South Liberty Street in downtown Powell, Ohio.
Yes. Right by the Beehive Bread Company. That's what I tell people.
Right, and you're at the top floor. Well, by the way, that's a great area to walk around there. There's some really good restaurants, and there's a little wine shop right across from you also. And that's a nice little area of close to Columbus, just a smidgen north of Columbus. That's a nice area to visit and walk around in. So we want to... thank you, Lynn, for being on. Well,
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. This is great.
Oh, absolutely. And we will definitely look into having you on again in the future.
Okay, great. I'd like that. That'd be fun.
Awesome. So, yeah, I guess unless you have any last messages for people.
I think I'm good. Just,
okay.
You know, don't live in fear and you know, always focus on the greater good, and you can't really go wrong.
Awesome message. I will endorse that. I'm Mark Matheny, and I approve that message. Okay, so have a great weekend, and we will talk to you in the near future. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, and you take care.
You too. You too. We'll talk soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was our guest, Lynn White, the PAL psychic. Coming up next week, I'm still... I have a couple different guests I'm working on. I've not finalized anything, but I will post out there when I have it settled. I have a couple different options I'm kind of working on that I haven't been able to straighten out yet, or get confirmations on, I should say. Friday, August 5th, Sherita Starr, who's been seen on Good Morning America and some other big TV and radio shows. She will be our guest on August 5th. She does a really awesome mix of astrology and numerology. And we're, if this were a, if I had video camera set up, I'm holding her book called It's All in the Name, The Hidden Power Within Words. Really fascinating stuff, and she goes through, and not only does she do astrology and numerology, but she measures the frequency of names and comes up with really interesting personality profiles, and even does like sports predictions and things with numerology and astrology. Very interesting stuff, and I will be on her show that following Monday as well, Monday, August 10th, I will be on her show, and I will post more about that. There is drumming tomorrow night at 9 o'clock at Garcia's International Restaurant on North High Street, and then Sunday from 12 to 6, Gathering of 1,000 Drummers at Whetstone Park, just about 4 miles north of Garcia's. And there will be several hundred of us there. There will be drumming, dancing, all kinds of great things going on there. We're going to have a blast. So, just remember, a little bit intense energy this weekend. Probably good energy for drumming and blowing off some steam.
Mark,
I think I'm gonna do it.
Mark. Wake up, Mark.
And apparently it's time for me to wake up. Okay. Have a good weekend, everyone.
I can see Uranus from here.